Well, a big thank you to Jed, Alita, Norman, Maureen for assisting and working as a great team today. It is great to be with you, and some housekeeping would be if you have something to write with, either your phone or a piece of paper or a Kleenex, that would be great. A special thank you to Tom. We had a great time yesterday, and I'm so thankful that he's your new pastor, and y'all are supporting this missionary over in Germany and Switzerland, and I look forward to the many, many years being your church's missionary. It's a privilege and an honor. It truly is. Today, I hope that you have your seatbelts on, because we're going to go over a lot of information. I want to tell you a little bit about me. Some of you don't know me, and some of you do know me. I even have ministry partners here this morning for a number of years, and I'm grateful for that as well. So what we're going to do is this morning we're going to talk eventually about the law and the gospel, and how the law leads to the gospel. This is a very important topic for such a time as this, because people, they don't know what the word sin means. They don't know that they are just hanging by a hair over the eternal flames of hell. They just don't know a lot of things. And so this morning, maybe this message is for you. I don't know. But maybe this message is for somebody else. That's why it's very important to take some notes. And it's also good to know that Jed told me that this sermon is being recorded, or the whole service is being recorded and put on our church website and YouTube channel. So you can have more reference there if you do miss something. Our roadmap is going to be, who is Kevin? What is Greater Europe Mission in Switzerland? We'll talk about the sower in Acts 28. We're going to look at the world reversal. Why is everything like upside down? We'll talk about world hope, the two-minute gospel text. What is that? Can you actually share the gospel in 2 minutes? And the use of the law, tactics of confrontation, and a conclusion. And I do have to say, it's so good to see kids here today. And they're leaning forward and watching, and they're paying attention, and that's awesome. I was born and raised in Wisconsin. You only can get to heaven through Wisconsin. I don't know if you knew that. But Wisconsin, how many of you have ever visited Wisconsin, the land of cheese? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Good. You 6 are my best friends for today. And in Wisconsin, I have a wonderful mother and father and a sister. Sister's married with 2 boys. And my brother, who I was just with in Sweet Home, Oregon, he's a captain with the Oregon State Police. He had lots of guns. And so we went out, us rednecks, and planted some apples and tried to call in some animals. But we were unsuccessful. Port Washington, Wisconsin is a beautiful little city on the lake. And this is St. Mary's up on the hill. And just a little bit to the right of that is St. Mary's Catholic School, where my parents spent a chunk of change sending us to this school, my brother, sister, and I. And it was there that I really got to understand what is Catholic theology and how terrible it is compared to Scripture. So went there for 8 years. Us kids are very grateful that nothing ever happened with priests. And I don't say that as a joke. I say that as sincerely. We're grateful nothing ever happened. And it was during that time, I was an altar boy. I understood I could recite the rosary forwards and backwards. I understood the 7 sacraments that you have to do in order to get to heaven. So that was going to be important later on in life. When I was about 11 years old, I was coming home from school, and I went into a garage sale, and in the back was this little piano, little plastic thing. Pulled out 25 cents. I wanted that 25 cents for candy. I gave it to the lady. I don't know why I did this. Took it home, painted it white, put numbers on the keys, made a song book. 3, 2, 1, 2, 3, 3, 3, 2, 2, 2, 3, 5, 5. My parents thought this is sort of a weird kid. But that actually launched this, what you just heard today, for the glory of God. I never took lessons. I play by ear. And if you want to leave a little donation out on the table, there's some CDs out there. Pick one up. Take one for Christmas or for your doctor or somebody. All the men in our family, we cook. We're from Germany. Flurl. My great-grandfather, grandfather, uncle, father, brother, all the men do the cooking. Women don't cook. So at a young age, I learned how to cook, and then I joined the Marriott and Ritz-Carlton in Palm Desert, California, Palm Springs, Maui, Hawaii, Hilton Head, South Carolina, and I love food, and people love to eat food. And so that was also used later on in life when it was around that time when I was cooking that I was starting to date this girl, and this girl, she thought I was born again because I was still in the Catholic Church, and she said, well, let's on this Sunday, next Sunday, let's have you come to the Bible Church, and then I'll come to your Catholic Mass. And that launched a tidal wave of questions because I sat there for the first time in my life around 22, and they didn't have saints, and they didn't have water, holy water, and they didn't have the priest up there with a little white thing on his thing. And it was so different, this Bible church. So with time, I spent a lot of time with priests and pastors trying to figure out what is wrong with these two people. They're just so different. And then I came to realize that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, even that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. And salvation is a free gift so that no one can boast. And I realized, wow, I have religion. I have no idea who this Savior is. So I believed and I trusted Christ. And around that time, I became born again. And then I got discipled by, as I left the Catholic Church, I got discipled by this Bible church pastor. And the culinary doors were closing. And they said, well, why don't you consider pastoral ministry. I don't know why they said that, but I'm glad that they did. And I spent some time with Stuart Briscoe and D.A. Carson, and they said, go to Moody Bible Institute. So I went to Moody, just tippy-toed into the water, and it actually worked. I loved it. I was there for 6 years, got my B.A., my M.Div., ordained in Wisconsin. Then I pastored in Wisconsin, Chicago, Massachusetts, and Oregon. And so then, eventually, I needed to take a break from pastoral ministry about 11, 12 years ago, and I went over to Germany to visit a friend, and he took me all throughout Germany and into Switzerland, and I couldn't believe what I learned in Switzerland, and that was Christians, like real Christians, born-again Christians, they're not like everywhere, and this is the same with Germany, same with Europe. It's mind-blowing that Europe is about twice the size of America, and we use the statistic out of 750 million people in Europe that 2-3% are genuine followers of Jesus Christ. They're truly born again. Now, of course, Christianity, Lutheran, Reformed, and all that, and Catholic, and you know, that's under the umbrella of Christianity. But are all those people going to go to heaven? Why did Christ teach in Matthew 7? It's going to be on that day that they stand before me and say, Lord, Lord, look at all the things that we did in your name. It is the worst words in all of eternity, in all of existence, to hear, depart from me, for I never knew you. And that should be chilling for all of us here today. Because I don't really know exactly why you're sitting here today, but I know this could be one of the first points for you to reflect, do you know Christ and what he did on that cross for your sins? Not for the person sitting next to you, but for your sins, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Have you taken care of business in that area? So eventually I come back from being over there, and it just bothered me, just like pressure. And so I took out my phone back then with my stylus, and I typed in Europe Missions, and the first thing that popped up was Greater Europe Mission. In Greater Europe Mission, we have this setup here, Jed and I. I'm looking, it's a long story, but I can see what's back there, but it's not connected here. So Greater Europe Mission is an organization of 750 missionaries. They're all in Europe, and I talked with them, and they said, well, we don't have anybody there. Maybe you're the guy. And so I guess I was the guy. So I got accepted. I had to raise support, and I became the first missionary to open the field of Switzerland with Greater Europe Mission. Been there 9 years, and before Tom was Chad, and then there was Joe and Sheila, and I'm so grateful that way back then, now I guess maybe 6 years ago, 5 years ago, your church supported me. And then there was a little lull, and now you're back on the page, and I'm so grateful for that. Because it's important. You just have no idea the lack of serious Bible Christian people over in Europe. It's very minimal, very minimal. Chad and I talked that maybe in 2-3 years I'll come back, I'll do some training here, and then I'll take some of you with me to Europe, to Germany and Switzerland to do a missions trip. Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven heads, and I'm going to give those names to the pastor later. So that was Greater Europe Mission, and then eventually I get there, and these are not doctored pictures. These are actually pictures of Switzerland. And it's a phenomenally beautiful place, for sure. It's just, it's not a land of cheese and chocolate. That's not what it's all about. There's something more significant going on over there. And that's why I'm here, standing here today, to give you this information. It's extremely dark. And so I want to tell you just briefly a little bit, but I do want to fly through some of these. Switzerland, unfortunately, has the label of suicide tourism. That means that out of the 50 countries in Europe, you can go to, and this will be a little bit sensitive for the kids, so mom and dad, you'll have to unpack this later at home, but I won't be too graphic. Switzerland has the reputation that if you go there, fill out the paperwork, pay some money, you can drink this little liquid as the lady laying on the bed up there. It's a horror film on YouTube. You can drink this, and in 12 minutes, you're dead. And then that nurse, she cleans up everything. They come to her body, take it away, and we get ready for the next one. There's also a picture up there of a biodegradable pod. You can go into this pod, and when you're ready, after you say goodbye to your family, you close the pod, you hit the green button, it gases you. They pick up the biodegradable pod with you in it and put you right into the earth. This is just started to happen because Australia, some crazy Australian scientist came up with this. And it should disturb you. It should frighten you. Normally, at this part of the presentation, I always get extremely emotional because it's so demonic. It's so satanic. And it's in a country of 8 million people. And it's just extremely disturbing. So please take little cards out on that table, how to pray for Switzerland. And please, because I know many of you haven't had Switzerland on your radar. So I ask that you put Switzerland on your radar when you have your prayer time and devotion time. I'm grateful to you for that. So just a little bit north of Zurich is this place. Does anybody know what church this is? If you can tell what church that is. Can anybody just, any idea? In North Germany? Uh-huh. Okay. This is where a little funny German went walking in his village and went bam, 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 and he put up 91 things that he had a problem with. And so I think the greatest thing about Switzerland is that it's connected to Germany, and in Germany, 1517 began the Reformation. And the Reformation, we would all be Catholics today if the Reformation didn't take place about 506 years ago. So I'm very grateful for this little German, Martin Luther, who said, "Unless I'm convinced by the testimony of the Scriptures and by clear conscience reason, I am bound by the Scriptures I have quoted. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything. For to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I can do no other. So help me, God." My friends, we need more godly people to take such a stance in times of craziness, not only in America, but over in Germany, Switzerland, and Europe. People with a backbone, not milk toast, not soft and pushover. People that stand, that say, "This is wrong." And we'll go into some of those illustrations a little bit later. So you can go to the YouTube channel, Kevin Flurl. I'm not interested in being a famous blogger or go viral. Go to YouTube, Kevin Flurl, subscribe, and you can see a lot of these videos. When I've been there, I visited for the 500-year anniversary. Did I, like, take in the event? Well, I was a little bit distracted because I didn't want to take in the event so much. I wanted to go on the streets and talk about Jesus with religious people, because the world descended on Wittenberg, Germany, for the 500-year jubilee. So you can watch these stories and many more. So back in Switzerland, there are these pastors who have nerves of steel. They have a backbone. These are all the guys that I partner with on some level, but I've served in many of their churches. And these are the guys that we say together, and he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to prepare the saints for ministry. And that's what it's all about. That's why I'm here. One of my motives for being here today is to equip you through the Word of God, that he would speak to you directly this week to talk about the gospel with somebody. That's my motivation for today. So these pastors are just great friends. I miss them dearly, and I have so much to say about them. We partner for the March of Life, and we stand for a lot of, we have debates, big platform, lots of people invited in. We have evangelical pastors with two organizations called Exit and Dignitas. Exit, suicide company, and then Dignitas, die with dignity, and we have a debate, and that's a great thing. So these are things that you can be praying for. So this is Switzerland. Switzerland, two of these little guys, I can't see it too well, but that yellow, two of those can fit into South Carolina. It's not a big country. It's very small with 8 million people. And I live in Germany, just over the border, and I travel into Zurich, and I serve a number of churches around Lake Zurich. Three churches specifically, Krishona Gemeinde Talwil, the Freie Evangelische Gemeinde Zurich, and Christentreff, the Freikirche in Kuznacht. So this is German that you hear, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. And I do have to say that there's so much material. You know, I can't go into details about everything, but I will be out there, and I look forward to answering all of your questions, no matter how long it takes. But I do realize that you have to vote on the roof, and so after the roof vote, I'll be hanging out back there. So that's the YouTube channel. I encourage you to go there, watch the stories. All my partners at one time had wore the glasses, the Swiss glasses, and it's always a privilege to wear the Swiss glasses. So I want to talk to you just briefly about the Swiss Army knife. That is very, very important. It sort of unpacks, and I want to do this quickly because we didn't even get into the text yet. It unpacks the, because Because I'm not a church planter. God has given me these tools. I'm not married. I'm still a virgin. I'm waiting for my wife. I've been praying for my wife. If I was married and had kids, I would not be able to do all the things that I do as a missionary. So this is the best way to sort of explain that. I'm a vlogger. I teach vlogging for our organization because people just get a piece of paper from their missionaries. And I think we can do much better with that because we have smartphones. So vlogging is important, telling the story of ministry overseas. My partners love these videos. I do leadership, there's worship, discipleship, gospel, and encouragement, just to talk about a couple. So let me just talk with you briefly about some of the gospel outreaches. So one of the things that I do is called Operation Camera Gospel. So when people in Europe, and they're all over the place because they are taking pictures of Europe is gorgeous. And so they're trying to do this selfie, and then I come along and say, can I take the picture for you? And they say, sure, that'd be great. And so since I know how to use a phone, I first joke around, and I take the phone, and I put it in my pocket, and I walk away, and they get all nervous. I said, no, relax, it's good. So humor sort of helps break down the wall a little bit. And then I start to take the picture, different angles, and I say, where are you from, and what's the culture like there, what's the food like, and what's religion like there? And then I get into the gospel of conversation. Because a lot of people ask, well, how do you get into all these conversations? Well, a popular question has a lot to do with religion, because people understand religion, and or what's your view of God or spirituality. Andy and I, we go out. This is my best friend. He's a pastor there, born and raised Swiss. And we ask questions. We have a questionnaire. You can see lots of these stories when I went out on Easter, when I go out on Christmas, when I go to the LGBT parade beforehand, before all the sad, crazy people show up. So we go and we talk about the gospel with people before the parade. So as you have many abilities and talents, I know everybody here has the abilities and talents that God has given you. What I'm a little bit afraid of, that you haven't connected it to the gospel, because that's what Paul did. This is an important verse. So he became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that just possibly I could win some. And so that's what I'm trying to do. Whether I'm doing sketches or painting at some monuments and people come and they look over the artist's shoulder, I turn it into a conversation about the gospel. Whether it's Operation Camera Gospel, whether it's I'm a drone pilot and I'm flying the drone and people want to know about the drone, I turn that into a gospel conversation. If you're stuck with me in an Uber or a taxi, you know you're going to hear the gospel. If you're stuck on a gondola, one of those little metal boxes going up to the mountain, you know you're good. Sorry, you're stuck with me. And I've had a lot of great gospel conversations. So my question is, what talent and ability do you have as a wood craftsman or a musician or who knows what? Do you use that to the advantage of the gospel? This week, if you know how to bake brownies or cookies, well, get baking and take them over to your neighbor or somebody that you've been like hesitant to reach out to. And whether that's a verbal, just want to sit down and talk with you, share with you a part of my story, my life, and tell them your testimony, or you write a card, or you give some type of gospel presentation. It's just very, very important. So discipleship, I disciple a number of guys. It's important for us older godly guys to help the younger godly guys grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. 2 Timothy 2:2, that what I received, I've passed on to the younger, and so the younger can pass on to the next. So this three-generational discipleship. Very important. Worship, I work with worship teams, And, you know, we try to do good music. Of course, it's sort of important, but that's not the point. When we do Christmas outreach or Easter, we make these little nice invitations. They hand them out to their lost friends and family and doctors. We want to get them in so that the pastor can share the gospel with them. And I'm sure that's probably what you guys do here as well. If you have any questions, you can email me here, or if you want this presentation, or if you'd like to have a phone call sometime, you can email me at these two email addresses. So I want to talk this morning about the sower and what I totally believe all of us are called to do. Everyone sitting here today is called to some way, shape, or form share the gospel. Not pray for the missionary that he can do it. Definitely not pray for your pastor that he can do it. You. If I had 45 mirrors, I would get a mirror and put a mirror right in front of you so you can see that person in that mirror is the one that I'm talking to. It's the one that I'm talking about. So at Moody Bible Institute, behind the president's chair is this stained glass picture. It's a great, it's huge. It's behind his desk, and I've always loved it. And it's sort of interesting that I have, by the grace of God, turned into such a man that I'm extremely passionate about sowing the Word of God, sowing the gospel. And at Moody Bible Institute, when I first checked into that place, I got some, my first week there, and this is important for this morning as well, I got some paper and I cut out some letters that spelled a word. Does anybody want to take a guess on what was the word that I put on the back of my door at Moody Bible Institute for 6 years? Anybody want to guess? What was it? Knock? Knock. Okay, anybody else? The word was application. I did not want to go to Moody Bible Institute, a little bit older, and just get a bigger head. We don't need, none of us here today need more information. Like, we don't need, like, more preaching. Of course, it's important. We just need application. Because it just otherwise puffs up. And you start to talk a lot, and you can hold debates and talk like, wow. Yeah, well, where's the fruit on your tree? That's my question. Where's the fruit on your tree? I recommend this book to you, The Soul Winner. It's probably one of my favorite books, top three for sure. If you need a good book to start to read to stir the fires, I recommend that. So this sower, there's lots of different versions. This one is by Jean-Francis Millet. This one's by Van Gogh. This one is by Tissot. And here's a very important verse. And this so gives me comfort to rest in my easy cliner or whatever, my easy boy. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up daily. And the seed sprouts and grows. How himself, he does not know. So that's also another verse that you want to write down. Mark chapter 4, verse 26, 27. Because there are some Christian organizations, maybe like Campus Crusade years ago, they would not only want to know how many gospel conversations you had, but how many conversions were there. Well, you can't know that. There's no way you can know that. Because very rarely is somebody converted on the spot, for sure. It could be seeming like a conversion, but it's a false conversion. And the last thing we need to do is help people think that they're a Christian when they're not a Christian. Mark chapter 4. Galatians chapter 3, there's a word in there that I want to talk about before we go deep into the text. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian, that's the word, until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Pastor Tom read that a little bit earlier. There are other versions that I like this other word better. Guardian seems a little bit soft. Schoolmaster is much better. And I think it might be in the King James. A schoolmaster is somebody who gives direction, is very black and white, and so many of the reformers, Martin Luther, John Calvin, talked about the law being our schoolmaster. And Paul, we'll see that later in a couple verses that Paul wrote about. So the law is not a bad thing. The law is a wonderful thing. Thank goodness we have the law. Charles Haddon Spurgeon says, I do not believe that any man can preach the gospel who does not preach the law. Lower the law, and you dim the light by which man perceives his guilt. This is a very serious loss to the sinner rather than a gain, for it lessens the likelihood of his conviction and conversion. And by the end of this message, you're probably wondering, like, how is he going to use the law and why to get to the gospel? No worries, you're going to have clarity, perfect clarity. So why is this message critical? Because here in America, and you know the answers to this, not only are we helping little boys be confused that maybe they're a little girl, or maybe the little girl is confused, maybe she's a little boy. Not only do we have demonic thought like that, but you can go to your local Walmart, and in there, which I was just last week, and I was looking at their t-shirts, I like shirts, and they actually have a Hellfire Club t-shirt. That's an actual t-shirt. Well, some people are like, oh, that's cute and nice, and maybe I should get that. The symbol behind it is daunting. So everything is being reversed, and this is also important to write down, Isaiah 5. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Everything, as I've said earlier, is flipped on its head. It's all reversed. Well, you do have that type of genital, but maybe you're not. Maybe you're something else. I mean, this is just mind-blowing that that insanity, demonic, satanic thought is circulating in America or in the world. Recently, I was meeting with another ministry partner. We were having breakfast at Sherry's last week. And he said, yeah, Kevin, my son, who is at Oregon State, they are now having a course at Oregon State University. It's not funny. Where the teacher is having talk groups. You have to break up into groups and talk about how is it possible that 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4. Is there a possible way that it doesn't equal 4? They're actually having a discussion about that. You know, normally we would be thinking, well, I won't even go into that. So Alistair Begg on the radio last week said that he was telling a story that he heard of this woman telling him this story in the congregation, Alistair Begg, and the 12-year-old girl came home. And the mom says, like all moms do, what did you learn in school? Well, the little girl said, well, we learned that we can spell words that are different than what we learned. Like, C-A-T is not necessarily cat. It can mean something else. So they're taking all these different words and coming up with a different way of communicating. All I'm saying is, The amount of insanity that we are hearing on a weekly basis causes us to be like, my goodness, I love the Lord, I love the Word of God. What could I possibly do about the insanity? Well, there's only one answer. You don't have to have debates about 2 + 2 or the gender sex thing or spelling. The answer is the gospel. There is no other answer. the only hope for the world is Jesus Christ and his followers. You are the only hope for this world. There is not some other hope. I mean, you can't put a Band-Aid on cancer. And so as the world continues to spin out of control and even more, this message is the answer. So we must not forget the gospel. Paul says in the New Testament over 160 times, he uses the word remember, don't forget. And for example, now brothers and sisters, I want to remind you, don't forget this, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So other than John 3:16 as our favorite go-to gospel verse, this is probably the closest cousin to that. 1 Corinthians 15. You will also want to make a note of that in your notes. 1 Corinthians 15. C.J. Mahaney, if there's anything in life that we should be passionate about, it's the gospel. And I don't mean passionate only about sharing it with others. I mean passionate in thinking about it, dwelling on it, rejoicing in it, allowing it to color the way we look at the world. I made this little insert. I have this in my prayer journal, and I've distributed many of these. Why preach the gospel to yourself after your conversion? We forget we've been transformed. We forget we're justified. We forget that we're being sanctified. We forget. And again, if you want copies of this, I'd be happy to get it to you. You can go directly to me or go through Pastor Tom. So the heart of God... the heart of God for Portland is, of course, the gospel, otherwise known as Jesus. And all I say is, which Jesus? Because out in this world, there is the Jesus of the Mormons, and this is like a brother to Lucifer. This is the Jesus that will just embrace all homosexuals, and they can have a church, which there are many churches, and they preach Jesus, and there's men and men married and women who are married. Well, this is not the Jesus of the Bible. So you can think that you have the Jesus of the Bible, but you don't. So the Jesus of the Bible, of course, is the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Jesus of the Bible said that I am the vine. The Jesus of the Bible says, I'm the bread, I'm the light, I'm the good shepherd, I am the door, and I am the resurrection. This is the Jesus that we want to communicate to people. And it's only through this Jesus of the Bible that you can enter heaven. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. Before Abraham was, I am. These verses, by so many cults and other religions, this is their problem. They do not believe that Jesus is God. So it's possibly just a little side note. Maybe it's the focus of the message. I don't know. You'll have to decide that. That we want to use the Jesus of Scripture, of the Bible, that he was the one that went on the cross. God himself incarnate. I bump into that all the time, by the way. Like, which Jesus are you talking about? Is my question. John Calvin says, if we have some humanity in us when we see people heading for hell, shouldn't we be moved with compassion to save the poor souls and teach them the way of salvation? Of course, amen. Billy Graham says, Francis Schaeffer says, truth carries with it confrontation. Truth demands confrontation. Loving confrontation, but confrontation nevertheless. Our waiter yesterday, as he was delivering our food, got to interact. He came back 4 or 5 times. And I was loving. I wasn't a jerk. I was loving. But I was confrontational because I was very fast on the questions because he didn't have a Bible. We could tell you that story, but I don't want to take the time. So my job, every day I wake up, I realize that I have a confrontational life ministry. I am not intimidated by anybody. I don't care if it's Biden or Trump or Pope. I don't care who it is. I'm going to just be Kevin. and I'm going to explain them the gospel. So I want to get to Pastor Andy. Pastor Andy said to me, I need help to get out of my office. And before I go further, normally what time are we through here? Normally? It doesn't matter. You're good? Okay, good. Thank you. I appreciate that. So Pastor Andy, he said to me, as I'm just a missionary, I serve these churches, and I asked, how can I serve you? And he said, Kevin, I need help getting out of my office. So he and I started to write a two-minute gospel. I thought, okay, how do we get him out of his office? Well, let's go share the gospel together. So I wrote this two-minute gospel, and when I read this, as I'll lay out, when I read this, it says, Gott liebt dich, and that means God loves you. So here it is, and here's the two-minute gospel. And so when Andy and I go out on these steps every Friday at 12 o'clock for the last 2.5 years, we're there and all these people come for lunch. And one of us, usually I'm on the right side holding an iPad with a two-minute timer so we don't take too much of their time, of course. Lord forbid that we steal away so much of their time. So 2 minutes, and then Andy preaches. And then we go on the other side, he holds the timer, and then I preach the two-minute gospel. And this two-minute gospel is, praise God that we make a good team. We pray before, we have lots of different responses, people clap. We had 10 teenagers come to us one time, and they talked to us for 40 minutes about so many things, about abortion and premarital sex and LGBT and sex changes. We loved it. We loved it. We loved to be challenged in our faith. You guys should be loving it when you're challenged in your faith, because it shows where you're weak and where you're strong. So the two-minute gospel is this. This is possibly a sample of, and right after this we'll get into the law. And I appreciate you giving me extra time today. So this is possibly what the Apostle Paul would say in 2023. We'd like to share with you an important message. It will only take 2 minutes. We have a timer here because we don't want to steal too much of your precious time. Our important message consists of a bad news and a good news. Start. Before bad news first, every one of us is dying. No one knows when. And when we will be judged by God, our Creator. God is perfectly holy, just, and good. He judges us by His law, the Ten Commandments. We have transgressed His law thousands of times. We have all lied, stolen, taken God's name in vain, hated, committed adultery in our hearts, and more. These transgressions of the law are called sin. And because God is holy, just, and good, He will hand us sinners over to the appropriate eternal punishment, a place called hell. But here's the good news. God takes no pleasure in condemning us, His creatures. He loves us and wants to save us. That is why God Himself became man in Christ Jesus, and by His death through crucifixion, He paid the judgment for all sinners who trust Him. As proof that the judgment was truly paid, Jesus rose from the dead 3 days after He died. Amen. So if you want to have forgiveness of your sins and eternal life with God, you must ask Him to forgive your sins and trust Him that He died for sinners like you and rose from the dead. Trust Him the way you trust a parachute while jumping out of a crashing plane. Do that today, because you don't know when your time is up. Our time is up now. That is why we are stopping. Thank you for your attention and patience. Have a nice day. That is the two-minute gospel. So, all I say this morning is don't tamper with the gospel. Just, that's probably about 14 Bible verses. We didn't have to cite the verses. We just wanted to get the word out. Because we know in Isaiah 55, so I send my word, it accomplishes what I send it to do, and it will never return void. So it's either used towards salvation or it's used towards judgment. So don't tamper with the gospel. We must not evaluate the success of our evangelism in terms of whether or not someone comes to faith. This would be terrible. In 9 years, I could tell you the story, but don't have time, of how many people were genuinely saved versus how many people heard the gospel, well, of course, I'm more interested in getting the gospel out. God can handle all that other management. He has to. Some sowed, and God waters, and God makes it grow, as you know. So please don't miss this. Very important. So our focus, Andy and I, and all of us in this room, our focus is to go compel people with tears if necessary, obey the word, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, even at a restaurant with Pastor Tom, be salt and light, ministry of ears, place the pebble. So just take a tiny pebble, put it in someone's shoe, I'll explain that at the end, and it makes them a little bit like, ah, that bugs me. Well, hopefully that's what the gospel does. So we rest in God's responsibility. What's his responsibility? Well, we have a thing called election. There's choking of the word by Satan. God waters. God causes regeneration, causes repentance. The word does not return void. Judgment, forgiveness, etc., etc. This is very important that we do not step into God's responsibility and we have to, like, manipulate and come up with tricks to have people pray a silly prayer. We must not do that. So how does the law lead to salvation? So what I'd like to do is make it very clear what I'm talking about. Mankind stands guilty in original sin and, like, must be awakened by the shattering and thundering of the law. How does that happen? So the law and the gospel, perfect partnership. It's wonderful. You're going to love it. And many of you maybe know this already, but maybe many of you don't. So I'm going to call Pastor Tom up. He didn't know about this. Surprise. Pastor Tom. Here we go. Come on there. Here we go. All right, you're on that side. No, you stay on this side. Change my mind. And just look at that, and we're going to read this together. You're going to be Lost Larry. I'm going to be Chris Christian. Okay, Lost Larry, do you think that you're a good person? Do you think that you've kept the Ten Commandments? Have you lied in your life? What does that make you? Have you ever stolen anything? What does that make you? Let's talk about your eyes and what you look at. Jesus said that if we look at a woman and lust after her, we have committed adultery with her in our heart. Have you ever done that? So, by your own admission, you are a lying, thieving adulterer at heart, and you will have to face God on Judgment Day. Does that concern you? Will you be innocent or guilty? Heaven or hell? The point is, the law makes justification impossible and makes the whole world guilty before God. The key is Romans 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. Do you think God is good and that he will just overlook your sins? Try that in a secular court of law. You have committed rape, murder, or drug trafficking. The judge says you're guilty. All the evidence is there. Do you have anything else to say before I pronounce the sentence? Thank you very much. The judge will probably say, you're right about one thing, I'm a good man, and because I have integrity, I have to live up to my character and support the law that is set before us. I'm going to see that justice is done and that you are punished for the acts that you have willfully committed. D.A. Carson says you can't tell people the good news without first telling them the bad news. So you understand, we have to paint this picture that they want and need Jesus. Otherwise, they're not going to want or need Jesus. If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. If they will perish. Let them perish with our arms about their knees. Let no one go there unwarned and unprayed for. I close with this illustration. In Exodus chapter 14, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today." Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into a dry land, and the waters were divided. So in my house, and every time I talk about this, and a number of churches that I work with in evangelism, I get red cardstock, and I have them cut out a red sea. Put it on their door, put a slice through it, to remind them that every time you walk out your door to share the gospel, it's a reminder that God still does miracles. So you're parting the Red Sea. It's sort of cute, but it's a nice thing to have on your door to remind you that God is still God. He hasn't changed. Hebrews 13 is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So don't think that you have to go out and do something. God is the one that does miracles. And every person, I don't know if everybody in here is born again, every person that is born again and is a genuine follower of Jesus Christ is obviously a miracle. It's a miracle. It's the second greatest story in my life. The first story is the gospel. Let me tell you about it. The second greatest story in all the universe from my perspective is I got saved. And here's my story. So Matthew 19, Jesus said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." I leave you with that book, Evangelism. It's a great book. If you want to have further reading by Max Stiles. I highly recommend Tactics by Greg Kokel. I did a Pebble outreach in Hawaii at one of my sending churches, and I took this team out, and this team continues to go out on the beaches along the walkways in Hawaii, and they've been doing this now for 2.5 years. And this is so exciting and so meaningful that I wanted to leave that with you. Maybe this church, maybe that's the future of this church, that you want to win Portland or win Aloha. So let's leave from this place resolved to share the gospel with one person this coming week. So may God bless this time and what you've just heard. Many of you have been writing feverishly. I love that. Thank you very much. And now let's commit our time and what we've heard to the Lord. So Lord, we do that. We commit it. We commit everything that was said. So much information. So many fast words. And so, Lord, bless us. Use these seeds that were planted in our soul, even for some of these young kids, that they would never forget parts of this talk. Not the crazy missionary standing up there, but that they would forget about me, but that the Word of God would be so planted in these young people that it would change the future of their lives. But Father, also for many of the other folks, 50, 60, 70, 80, I pray, Father, that you would do something above and beyond all that we could ever think or imagine. Lord, we love you. We want to serve you. We want to be powerful tools in your hand. So, Father, use us. And, Lord, we do mean that from the bottom of our heart. We want you every day more and more to increase in our lives and for us to decrease. We ask that in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, let's stand and sing by faith.
Our benediction comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 18. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirits, brothers. Amen. Go ahead, take a seat. We are going to just take a quick moment and do the member vote for the roof, for the parsonage, the roof replacement. So we have some people. We have Norm. I think we have Mark. Where they are, both of you guys. If you are a member, please go ahead, raise your hand. They're going to make sure that you get a ballot and a pen, if you need a pen. Once you have your ballot and you vote, please fold that and then eventually make its way towards the center aisles and they will get it, but they're still passing out ballots. And anyone else need a pen? Does everyone have a pen? I think so. We're good on pens. Thank you, Norm. Thank you, Mark. I'm going to steal one as well. Thank you. Again, please, after you have voted, fold it up and pass it to the center aisles, and they will get it. Oh, you know what? Owen, can you run back these from Lois? Run those back? Oh, that'd be great. Oh, and we got a couple more. Owen's going to be the runner. All right. Great. We are going to count it up right now. It should be just a moment. So in the meantime, could you turn to your neighbor and just welcome them here? Say thank you for being here. And a special welcome to Jeremy and his family. I see you back there. I think and I pray for you often. All right, I'm getting double thumbs up from Mark. It says it has passed, so thank you so much for everyone who has voted. Yeah, we can go ahead, clap. That's great. And we hope to get that going as soon as we got some good weather with the schedule. All right. If you have any questions, feel free to find me after the service. Thank you for being here, and now you can go in peace.